You guys ready?
Yep. Anytime.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, we get started on time. One thing, when we did our initiative, we prided ourselves, not one time did we get started late ever, so it's a good thing. My name is Jonathan Narcisse, and I just have a very, very simple announcement before I take questions. I'm pleased to say that I'll be entering the 2010 gubernatorial primary, the Democratic primary, and if you have questions, open to taking them.
Why?
We're facing a billion-dollar budget deficit. Our education system is failing in many regards. Our economy has become stagnant. And unfortunately, politics in Iowa has become about single issues. And leadership in Iowa has become about taking care of the powerful vested interests that are able to afford lobbyists and purchase politicians. So I'm running because Iowa needs somebody that will put the interests of Iowans first. I'll do that.
What do you think you can bring to the table that others can't?
Well, first of all, I'm not for sale. One of the first things I said or decided when I looked at running is that I wouldn't take any contributions over $5,000. I wouldn't take any outside the state PAC money. I wouldn't accept contributions from the kind of political interests that have hurt the state. And I think that's an example of leadership saying that I'm going to put Iowans first instead of being for sale or at least for rent. So I bring honest leadership. I've gotten results. You know, everywhere I've gone, whether it was my statewide advocacy a decade ago or whether it was my serving on the school board, I got results. People didn't always like my honesty, my candor, but at the end of the day, I got things accomplished. And what Iowa needs is someone that has the ability to actually get something done. There's two things I'd like to just add to that. One, I've been able to speak to folks across the partisan divide. I'm a former chair of the Polk County Democratic Party, and I was elected to the school board overwhelmingly by Democrats. But on November 7th, I spoke to the Tea Party, and I actually closed it out to chairs. I spoke to the Iowa Federation of Republican Women following the state party's chair, Matt Strong, who said his candidates ought to be running on my 10-point platform. I've demonstrated that I can advance Iowa solutions that transcend party. So that's one thing. But the second thing is, Iowa is a state where people are ready to participate in solutions. They need leaders that are actually willing to advance solutions and not just play the same partisan political games.
Last night when we talked on the phone, you said you had supported Governor Culver in 2006 when he was a candidate in the primary. And then you said he's a nice guy, but sometimes you have to fire people you love.
Yes.
Chet
Culver is a great guy. I've known him for years, and I would never say anything negative about him. And for that matter, you know, there's a special place in my heart for former Governor Branstad. I was served on his inauguration committee. I was a chair of a state commission under Governor Branstad. In fact, the youngest chair of a state commission in Iowa's history at the time while he was governor. And I will always have a fondness for these two people. But, you know, my mom's here. My daughter has her own newspaper. And last spring, she had a friend who was working with her. And she wasn't doing her job. And she came to me, and I said, well, what are you going to do? And she said to me a couple days later, well, I talked to Ty Sierra, and I fired her. And they're still friends. You know, you can love someone. And my mom, she works to work for me. You can love someone, and sometimes you have to put the job first. These are two very decent human beings, but neither of them has answers or solutions for Iowa's problems. And I worked hard for Chet Culver. We didn't just endorse him as a newspaper. I host a radio show in Waterloo. I've published in Davenport. I had a statewide base from the health and education hearings we did. And we went to war for Culver, and Mike Bluen's a great guy, but Chet Culver sat across the desk from me and he said, here's my vision for this state. And after he got elected, he didn't follow through. and I will never say a bad thing about this person, but he just hasn't been an effective governor. And there's another reality, and there's a harsh political reality. Governor Chet Colver cannot beat Terry Branstad head to head. The Iowa poll, whether you believe the findings or not, said government's too small, taxes are too low, we ought to legalize dope and gay marriage is cool. And they still preferred Bob Vanderplatz to Chet Colver. Chet Colver is not electable. He can't beat Governor Branstad head to head, and he absolutely can't beat Governor Branstad if I'm in the race in November. So in essence, a vote for Chet Colver becomes a vote for Terry Branstad. But fortunately, Iowans are going to have a real choice. They're going to have the policies of former Governor Branstad, which were very much vested in the trickle-down economics we saw fail in the 80s, are going to have a choice of someone that will put Iowans first, that will be able to have a vision of small, effective, accountable government, that will be able to advance a low-tax, free market economy, that will restore the greatness of our education system. And also, and I think this is important, and Dr. Alan Kozel's here, we started on the radio about a year and a half ago. The first time he ever met me, he said, I'm the good, Ted Spohr's the bad, and you're the ugly. And I said, Alan, you'll be supporting me a year from now. And we've lost a lot of weight. Alan's lost 90 pounds. Ted's lost 40 pounds. Iowa has an obesity crisis. Our children are too obese. Our elderly people are unhealthy. Our families are unhealthy. And one of the priorities of the next governor has to be to lead by example, a campaign to fight lifestyle and obesity-induced disease. And as someone who's gone from a 44-46 to a 34-36 in a year, who's completely off medications a year later.
How much weight have you lost?
You know, I was pretty obsessed with my weight, so one day I took my scale over to my mom's house, and I haven't weighed myself since.
Well,
that was in July.
Give us an estimate.
I've probably lost what Alan said I looked about 15, 16 months pregnant back when. So I probably lost 60 pounds, 70 pounds.
60, 70
yeah.
pounds.
And it hasn't been easy. Like I said, Ray over there, you know, I mean, sometimes.
Are you saying that because Cover is overweight?
No, I'm saying because, first of all, even before Governor Chet Colver was elected, I held statewide health and education hearings. Your paper covered them extensively. The White House worked with them. So health was a priority of mine long before Governor Colver was elected. You know, and back in 2006, before he was elected, the Register did an extensive piece on my weight loss, including putting me on the front cover of the paper shirtless. I actually woke up that morning and thought it was a story. I can't see without my glasses. I thought it was a story about the beached well in Florida, and it was me. And I was horrified, but at least they had an after picture in there too. So, no, this is not, you know, Iowa's obesity crisis is not about Governor Colver. But sometimes you have to have leadership by example. And, you know, What I'm saying is I will show leadership by example. You know, obesity in Iowa costs us billions of dollars, lost productivity and life. You know, we've got a we fit. You know, there was a time when basically I was too tired to do anything, so the plan was basically pick up the girls after school, go to McDonald's, and sit down and watch television. Well, you know, now we play Wii Fit. I can't beat her in the running, jumping cow game. I beat her in Wii Tennis. But, you know, Iowans, we have a chance in Iowa to be the first state in the nation that really advances a health agenda, not an illness maintenance agenda. Right now, the conversation is about how we're going to pay for medication, how we're going to pay for hospitalization. Nobody's talking about how we eat better, how we move better. And I think that it's every bit as important as education, as good government, and the economy that we create a healthy Iowa. We reduce cancer rates. We reduce diabetes. We reduce heart disease, cardiovascular, stroke. We gain more energy. You know, families will be better off if we're a less obese and healthy state, and we need leadership that's going to make that a priority.
Could I just ask you your position on a couple of controversial issues?
Sure.
Same-sex marriage?
Personally, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, but what I've said is that we ought to just let Iowans vote. There are certain issues that ought to be decided by the people. And one of the things that I think is sad is that we've seen...
Constitutional amendment?
Constitutional amendment, vote on it, you know.
Personally,
I think that there are certain issues that need to be on the ballot. For example, the issue of legalization. But here's something
of
marijuana ought to be on the ballot.
That ought to be on the ballot.
Yes. But here's one thing that I want to say. You know, I had a conversation with a gentleman the other day, and I said, you know what? We live in a state where one or two issues have completely dominated. Out of 257 school districts in this state with fewer than 1,000 kids, not a single one of them is failing. In our 10 largest school districts, the top nine, including West Des Moines, are failing officially. 32 of the 33 high schools are failing officially. 37 of the 40 middle schools are failing officially. We have a completely stagnant economy. We have a criminal justice system with a 35 to 40% recidivism rate, depending upon whether a person gets out on parole or off papers. We have a crisis with our human welfare system. 90.4% of our budget, general fund budget, goes to three areas: education, health and human services, and justice. 77.2% of all government spending goes to those same three areas. 40.4% of all government spending goes to health and human services, which speaks to the dysfunction of the family in Iowa and the state. Yet none of those issues warrant any of the conversation, focus, or emphasis that one or two issues do. And in all honesty, the time has come for a governor to say, you know what, there are certain issues we're just going to let the people of Iowa decide because they're never going to agree. But what I'm going to focus on as governor is fixing this state government. You know, the reality is we don't have a budget or fiscal crisis. We have a leadership crisis. We have spending priorities wrong. You know, I talk about tax reform in my proposals, and one of the areas I focus on is a sales tax. We were in Davenport, and we stopped at Hardee's, and it was good. Every once in a while, I allow myself a treat. I had a thick burger, onion rings, and they have these really good hot chocolate chip cookies. And I went back and got a couple. Darren said no. Ray had one, and I said, "What's your sales tax rate here?" And it's 7%. Now think about it. We have seniors that aren't going to get a cost of living increase, and nobody's talking about the economic hardships facing our seniors in the state. And they pay 7% on toilet paper and denture cream. Single moms working three jobs pay 7% on a Happy Meal when they're going between jobs. But you have areas of sales tax exemption for those who are the wealthiest Iowans, like when they're purchasing massive amounts of legal services to circumvent some of their social responsibility. So I'm saying, you know, we need to lower the sales tax, the 4% over 2 years and 3% over 3 years, and then we need to close those loopholes so when a transaction occurs, just because you could afford a lobbyist, you don't get to vote yourself out of taxation. You know, one of the things I've talked about is creating a way for Iowans to stimulate Iowa. You know, take that income tax, allow a 15% rebate for every Iowan paying an income tax, where they can invest that money directly back into an Iowa small business. What would that mean? It means that in small communities, they could reopen grocery stores, get their bank back. In communities like I live in the Drake area and Forest Avenue area, you would be able to see some of those shops and businesses reopen. Family businesses would gain access to capital. Now, in some of our communities, people wouldn't have to drive 30 and 40 miles to Walmart. Oh, well, I mean, the Walton kids, they'll have to live with only having less than $20 billion each except for the wine. You know, we'd see meat rock lockers reopen. I mean, the time has come for us to have leadership that is going to trust Iowans to do the right thing. And in traveling 99 counties across the state, I've seen some remarkable people. I have faith and confidence that the people of Iowa will do the right things given the right leadership. But it's a question of leadership. And the truth is that we can no longer allow special interest politics and single issue politics to divert us from the major crisis and challenges facing our state, like restoring the greatness of our education system and actually creating an economy that isn't dependent upon the government check to sustain itself, whether that's the government check for ethanol, which, by the way, I'll say this, I know it might be controversial, but let's get it out of the way right away. We ought to be funding grain-based ethanol.
You're opposed to using ethanol for fuel?
I'm saying, no. Well, see, there's switchgrass-based ethanol, prairie grass-based ethanol, which makes environmental and economic sense. And then there's grain-based ethanol, which basically is a welfare program for certain interests.
So you're opposed to government subsidies?
Absolutely.
For grain-based ethanol?
Absolutely. If it's viable, then the private sector will sustain it. If we discovered 100 million barrels of oil in Iowa, it wouldn't take a penny to develop it. But what we're doing is subsidizing an industry that isn't at this point commercially viable. What we ought to be doing is instead letting Iowans keep their money and investing in areas where they will directly know the success and benefits of it. We ought to be doing things like utilizing our in universities as research hubs, and imagine if we redirected money into areas where we could actually grow the state meaningfully, as opposed to just simply subsidizing those folks with the money to buy lobbyists. So,
can I just clarify one
sure.
thing? If you don't win the primary, it's your intention to file as an independent or a third party candidate?
I will, yes, absolutely.
That would be as an independent? Or third party? You haven't decided?
Well, I don't see a third party I would run on.
You would file as an independent?
I would be on the ballot.
In November?
Yes, I would be on the ballot in November.
By petition.
Do you have the requisite signatures that you're going to present the Secretary of State?
I know we have the number of counties we need. I don't know the status of the signatures. One of the things that I made a commitment to was competent professional management. And the truth is, I have a Southeast Iowa coordinator. I have folks in Davenport and Waterloo and other places. And since the filing deadline isn't until March 19th, what we'll do, the Polk County Democratic Convention is, I believe, March 13th, and we'll collect signatures through then, and then on the 15th of March, look to turn in our petition. So at that point, I'll know, but there are just certain things that I trust my campaign leadership to handle, and I don't need to be in the minutia.
Speaking of minutia, I was trying to do some calculations. You would like the state sales tax to be 3% by 2014. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, but then close the loopholes, yes.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
But also understand that in our state, we have an almost unparalleled commitment to bureaucracy. North Carolina has almost four times as many students in a fourth of the education bureaucracy. You know, we have 45,000 employees at the Regents institutions with 70,000 employees, and that actually isn't all the employees. That's just the number they report. We have we actually got that from one of your reports. Okay.
We have a better education system though, Iowa or South Carolina.
Well, actually, it was North Carolina, and let's put this in perspective. Des Moines had as many dropout factories as Washington D.C. according to the Johns Hopkins study. If you look at the actual attrition data and not the data based upon the official graduation rate, and the official graduation formula, by the way, one student out of 1,000 students in a school district could graduate. One student out of 1,000 students. By our official formula, you could have a 100% graduation rate and a 0% dropout rate. If you look at the attrition rate in our urban school districts in Iowa, it's tragic. And up to 60% of the students that we're producing with diplomas couldn't pass the GED if it were an exit exam. Now, Iowa used to have the best public education system on the planet, but what we did is we closed schools in small communities, consolidated districts, and created a lot of administration.
So you're opposed to school consolidation?
We don't need to close schools in small districts. What we need to do is eliminate levels of bureaucracy. I mean, for example, the Des Moines School District is firing 300 teachers, but they're hiring more administrators. That's part of the problem. If you look at the increase in teacher salary over the last decade, it pales in comparison to the increase in the compensation for urban administrators and superintendents. We're a state that has been, and in fact, I was on a conference call with Arne Duncan recently, and one of the points he made was that education in America has become about taking care of the adults, not focusing on the needs of the kids. And there, no place has that become more true than in Iowa, where we vote money for adults instead of kids. And there's one area in particular where Governor Culver and the legislature could have provided leadership. Because of the budget crisis that his administration created, we now are looking at school districts that are going to have to fire teachers. We're going to put more kids in already overcrowded classrooms. We're going to drain scarce reserves. We're going to close some academic programs. We're going to let go of art and music teachers and counselors. We're going to raise property taxes. Now, we voted, the legislature voted, and he signed a $360 million a year penny tax with no infrastructure study, with no data showing the correlation between building bigger buildings and improving education, with no mandate that those dollars actually go where they're needed, so that now we're going to see Valley put a $57 million addition onto his high school because they can't use the money for anything else. And if the legislature and the governor would have said, we'll delay infrastructure projects for just 2 years, they could have dropped that money in, no teachers would lose their jobs, kids wouldn't be in overcrowded classrooms, we wouldn't drain reserves, we wouldn't have to raise taxes. And we're not just going to lose teachers. Over the next decade, we're looking at potentially losing 40% of our educators because they're getting older. And what these budget cuts hit are those teachers who are the most likely to replace them. So we not only don't have a solution on the horizon for the teachers we're losing, but we're getting rid of the only folks, or the folks most likely to fill in the gap and replace them. That's not leadership. And instead of being in Iraq right now, he ought to be in Iowa today, meeting with the legislature, saying, I'm not gonna let you out of session until we actually have real solutions for the crisis that face Iowa. Can I get her for a second?
What specific solutions would you focus on that you think perhaps Governor Culver has neglected to address in the area of education?
Well, that's one of them. The second thing I'd actually acknowledge there's a problem. I mean, the next governor needs to do something like say, you know what, let's be honest. Parents have to do their job. So let's have an honest conversation about parents doing their job. We have way too much administration. You know, when I did our statewide education hearings, we ran across a case where a school district had contracted their administrative functions with a local AEA. It cost them $14,000. They saved huge amounts of money, but it was so politically unpopular that the AEAs were ordered to stop. Meanwhile, you had a school district that had 94.7 kids, a superintendent, and a principal. I went to a school district with 200 kids. They had three principals and an administrator. This was okay. And if we had the leadership to simply look at the administrative excess that exists in education from pre-K through regions, not research, not classroom, but the excess, we eliminate 10,000 duplicative positions. You don't need a payroll clerk in every school district. You know, Wells Fargo has banks all over this country. They don't have a payroll clerk in every bank in every city. So you create bureaucratic efficiencies. You know, I had a chance to sit down with Governor Branstad on October 28th. And after he had the first meeting, we met for about an hour, and I asked him questions. You reduced the flow chart, but why didn't you fix things that didn't make sense within the state government, like criminal juvenile justice being in human rights instead of the criminal justice line? You know, I mean, why isn't gaming and racing in the same bureaucracy as the lottery? You know, why do we have practices like calling an ambulance in Des Moines that goes to Fort Dodge and then to Iowa City and then back to Fort Dodge and then back to Des Moines when there's a hospital across the street? And when you start looking at just the waste and the duplication that exists, there's no question that if we actually just take and fund what we ought to be funding as government first, we have plenty of money to do those things we need to do. Educate kids, maintain roads and bridges, keep our streets safe, and maintain the safety net. We have the ability to do that if we have leadership that places that priority first.
Thank you.
How much money have you raised so far?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I don't handle that, but we will give a financial report on May 19th.
Less than $10,000?
We will. Well, let me just say this. We will give a financial report on May 19th when required. And I don't mean to be evasive, but, you know, I'm running against an incumbent. There is an advantage to not revealing what strengths I may have as a candidate until I absolutely have to.
It's fair to say you've raised less than $10,000.
It's fair to say I'll announce on May 19th how much we've raised. I wish I had reporters working for my paper like you. Of course, I can't afford you, so I'll answer questions again.
Bill asked about, you made reference to the trip to Iraq, and just to clarify, you think it was a mistake for him to go?
I think he went over for a photo op. And we have some very grave issues facing Iowa beyond texting. and the governor ought to be here leading those issues and not looking for photo opportunities or for his political campaign. But tragically, this has been the leadership style of Governor Culver, who hasn't even listened to the people within his own administration. I mean, once again, he's a nice guy, but at this point, there's 0% chance that he can be Governor Branstad head up, and he certainly can't win with me on the ballot. But fortunately, Iowans are gonna have a chance to vote for someone who will absolutely put their interests first and say no to the powerful invested interests that have been used to owning the state.
You think you can win?
I know I can win. Whether I do or not is another issue. Now, I didn't believe that when I first got into this. You know, when I first got into this, the idea was to build a political mechanism to be able to have an impact on 2012 and 2011. But the reality is that I absolutely can win. As I traveled this state, I picked up some really strong support in places like Scott County and Waterloo and Fort Dodge and Marshalltown and other communities. And I know I can win. But I'm also going to have to raise money. You know, we need to raise $4 or $5 million.
Can I just ask Dr. Coswell, can I just ask you, are you supporting him? Do you think he can win?
I think he can win, and I am supporting him. I think he has very good ideas, particularly from my point of view. From the